avoid some cases from another country and other cases from far corners of the state joining us here for the next 2 or 3 days. Knowing most of you in the room here, I don't hesitate to anticipate that it's going to be very interesting and stimulating weekend. And I hope that you all find it to be things for yourself. We have a number of different kinds of things that are going to be going on, and it's intended to be a very informal affair and subject to adjustment as appropriate, as you all feel it ought to be adjusted. So at any point that you want to throw out suggestions for things that we ought to be doing or not, please let us know. I'd like to give you, Gary Mohat, a chance to welcome everyone. Gary is the Dean of the College of Human and Rural Development, which is one of the sponsors of the symposium. So I'm going to turn it over to Gary.
I too would like to welcome everybody and tell you how much we appreciate all of you coming from Canada and from Alaska. We think this is a very important topic. It's a very, very important topic. I personally have been involved in any number of foreign native controlled education and native controlled projects for the last 20 years. And it's, I think, critical for us, particularly this juncture of our history, to reflect on what values and perspectives underpin the work that we all have been involved with for the future, and bring some forms of synthesis, some forms of integration of the kind of knowledge that we have all gained, so that the programs of the future will be clearly based upon maybe perspective and structured in ways that will not simply be comfortable for Native people, but will give Native people and communities that sense of ownership and power and control, which we all espouse. So I look forward very much to learning a great deal in the next 2 days, and thank you all for coming. Thank you today for organizing this. I hope that
the symposium is sponsored by a number of different components within the College of Human and Rural Development. The Vlasa Native Graduate Fellowship Program, which is where most of the resources came from, together is a project that we have funding from the U.S. Department of Education to provide fellowships for a small number of Native graduate students at the university in specific programs, particularly community psychology and cross-cultural education. And with that funding came some resources to provide seminars and various other kinds of support for minority. The project is funded through a minority branch in the Department of Education. So we are using those funds for this purpose, and I think probably the most useful thing that we'll have done in the course of the year, outside of getting a few students some support to help them get through their graduate program. We also have support from the Department of Rural Development, Pat Dubs, the head of that department, has been helping put this together and provided the funds and resources to do it. And then also we have a project funded by the Bernard Van Leer Foundation called the Van Leer Project that operates up in the interior areas up here on the Clay Cup, and some of the funds are offered for that also. So having gotten the sponsorship portion of the program out of the way, we're down to business. A couple of administrative matters. One is you'll see the round microphone sitting on the table in front of some of you, not all of you, you know, stretched quite far enough. We are taping the session, hoping to get as much of it as we can. Because of the microphone limitations, not extending to the far end of the table, I will be asking people when they give their presentation to move up into an area where there is a microphone so that we can get the main presentations at least, because we might miss some of the background comments. What we intend to do is to transcribe the tape and edit them and put them together into a document of proceedings from this meeting that can be distributed back to those of you who participated, also made available then to other people who have an interest in the same kind of issues. I was surprised, but it was gratifying to see how much interest there was in this issue. As those of you who are here know, it was not a meeting or conference or symposium, not what I want to call it, symposium. It was not a symposium that was advertised in the newspaper or anything like that. It was the initial notice was distributed to a number of people based on people and places that we knew were doing some things along the lines of the purposes of the symposium. And from that, by word of mouth, it's kind of spread. And as you see by the current version of the agenda, there are a number of things that are on the agenda today that weren't on the earlier draft that was sent around. And I'm sure if we had a few more days, we'd assume we're already stretching the capacity of the room and the hotel space here. But I'm sure we would be far exceeding that based on the number of inquiries that came in the last 2 or 3 days. So it's a topic that seems to have some interest around the state. And I am sure that we have missed a number of programs and individuals who have been doing very interesting kinds of things along the lines of those that we'll be discussing here. And this is not by any intent. I try to invite and include anyone who either we knew about or expressed an interest. And I suspect I'll be getting called asking why I wasn't invited or why we weren't included for the next couple of weeks. But we only covered so much ground, so I think we have a pretty good mix of programs that people represented here. Does everyone have the current version of the agenda that was sitting on the table back there? There are more copies if you don't. This is the latest as of this morning. And as you'll see, they have quite a number of items listed for each of the four main sessions of the meeting. I started out initially trying to group these in some way, all those that dealt with schooling or all those that dealt with adults or various categories. But for a number of reasons, one being that many of these projects, by their nature, don't fall into usual categories. They are built around a set of local conditions and circumstances and therefore take into account a lot of things that may not be similar in another program in someplace else. So it's very difficult to come up with a set of appropriate categories to start with. Secondly, a number of people are only able to be here at certain periods during the next 3 days, so I've tried to juggle the agenda to accommodate everyone as best as I could. So I gave up trying to organize it into any kind of a systematic set of presentations. I think the underlying theme of these being programs and institutions and so on that were initiated by Native people for Native people will be the thing that holds it all together. So I'm not really that worried about it. There are a couple of changes since this morning. that you might note on your program. One is that Commissioner Bill Demers, who I very much appreciate, is taking the time off of a very critical period in the legislative session down in Juneau to come up here. He does need to get back there as early as possible, and hopefully possibly this evening. So what we're going to do is switch the session that we have scheduled for 8:30 tonight with the session that we have scheduled just before dinner, where we were showing the videotape honor ball. And we will have the session with Bill at 5 o'clock, or at the end of our afternoon session today, as long as it goes up to dinner time, and then we'll have to take off. So you just note that we're switching those two items around. And then there's one addition that I'll note, and it'll be mentioned again later on this afternoon. The Alaska Native Foundation and others have been involved in producing a set of tapes related to the 1991 issue for use in schools, and Paula has brought three tapes, which are we will be the first audience, I gather, public audience to see these tapes. We're going to schedule that for tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock after the afternoon session for those who are interested to view these tapes. So after the afternoon session tomorrow, between that and dinner time, Paul will show these three tapes. They're 15 to 20 minutes in length. Related to 92. She'll give you more information on that in a while. Are there any questions about why you're here before we have some introductions and get on to the program? Any questions about any of the arrangements here? Based on people's inquiries, not everybody's on this list. and there are people on here aren't here. But the third page is after the agenda, first page after the agenda, I've listed all the people who are presenting and others who are here as observers and participants. So you might kind of keep an eye on that and help you connect up to here as we go through the introduction. So maybe we could start down there with Dick and just kind of work our way up around the outside and then back up the inside of the table here.
My name is Dick Cassidy, and I'm working with the UNL on program machine
last year and there's somebody else, next year and there's somebody else. So glad to be here.
Ebert Hampton, originally from Oklahoma, and I'm on the faculty at the University of Alaska.
Ted Hampton, I'm a student at the University of Alaska.
Steve Edmonds, I work for the University for the Correspondence Study Program.
Carol Peter, and I'm a teacher currently working with the Alaska Council on Prevention of Alcohol and Drug Abuse.
Judy Bach with the Four Road Development Project in Alberta.
Adele Erskine with the Fugard Research Center in Alexandria in Alberta, Canada.
I'm Rupert Arkan from the Manager of Human Resource Development in Alexandria with down here with Adele.
I'm Althea Shaw. I'm from Darrell and I'm on the Northwest Higher Education Center Board.
Ray Barnhart, the Department of Rural Development.
My name is Sandra Junior. I'm originally from South Dakota. I've been in Alaska for 11 years. I'm currently Director of Education for the Survey of State of Alaska.
I am.
Came to the wrong place.
Terry Mendenhall with the Barron Street Succeed Program. I'm also on the CORE nonprofit. I'm board of directors and ASN Education Committee. I have more titles, but I don't want
to. Well, I don't want to have any more sports.
Some of the things people call you, you don't want to put in public anyway.
Buell Amtrak, personal interest in education. Others that have
been built out around more conventional kind of institutional structures, taking over certain kinds of institutions that may not have originated in Native community settings, but are now being used to serve needs towards the ends of the Native community. So there's all sorts of a mix here. And that was intentional, and I hope we'll open up a kind of dialogue that doesn't, that breaks us out of our usual, in our experience, at least looking at it from the university standpoint, is we train teachers and we talk about issues in the context of schools, and we work with training people for corporation positions. We talk about issues in the context of corporations. But all of these different institutions in rural Alaska interact with one another and depend on one another in lots of different ways, and all add up to an overall set of experiences and set of circumstances in a community. So we want to try to look at it in that holistic kind of framework, deal with these questions in that sort of way. Now, in the meantime, you're all working with your own program, your own institution, and that's what we want to hear about. So for the purposes of your presentation, it's your experience and your project that you need to focus on, and then we'll attempt to have opportunities for interaction and discussion related to these. Now, if we look at the list of items here, it's going to be a tight schedule, and I'm torn between wanting to allow the discussion to flow and move in whatever direction that it seems to move in, but at the same time, I want to make sure that everybody has a chance to have their say, have their presentation, et cetera. And that means that I'll have to exercise a little bit of authority in terms of moving discussion on from one point to the next. And if you feel that I'm getting out of hand in doing that, please let me know. At the same time, though, I do want to make sure everybody does get a chance between now and noon on Saturday to present their views. I also want to invite people, as I know from listening to you as we went around the table here, that there are people here who've been involved with things that aren't listed on the agenda. Don't hesitate to bring those things up. Don't hesitate to add things that come to your mind as you go along here. This isn't intended to be a fixed program, a fixed agenda, open to this and to allow whatever issues that you feel are appropriate to talk to bear on. What I am hoping is that we will get through the various presentations with enough time left on Saturday to be able to take the last page and kind of go through and talk about each of those 10 items and any others that we want to add. Or to least based on what we have gained, learned from the discussion over the time between now and then, so that we have the chance not only to just focus on specific projects, programs, and so on, but also on some of the more general kind of issues that might grow out of this discussion that we've seen. There will be opportunities for informal discussion meetings and sessions. Meal times, after meals, before meals, evening, etc. Make use of that. That's why we're out here instead of sitting in Fairbanks or someplace like that. So we have opportunities to do that. Also, want to take the time to relax. I know those of us in the university are anxious to have a chance to relax. We've been involved in a whole series of meetings. The semester ended last week, graduation Sunday, and so on. So we don't want this to be a high-pressure kind of situation. I don't think anything else does. Any last questions before we open up the floor for the first?
There's some people that have been listed or here that stated that they would be leaving like today after today's session or tomorrow or whatever. That might be of interest to people that would like to look at those people before they leave.
We get that show of hands, people who are going to have to leave at the end of the day here. that. Donald Peter is going to start out our session here with a description of the Spirit program, and we brought a videotape that we will show with the equipment set up so you can see it. And we'll just turn it over to Donald.
I think we're going to get to the HRDB Spirit Camp program in the Center for Last Minute. We have some welcome programs. Frank got some brochures that were passed out. The brochures. The Spirit Camp is an educational setting with attention given to the relationship among the physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and interesting development. Through this process, one, they gain the value of traditional teaching and tribal approaches to making decisions, thus to gain self-respect. Programs and corporate. We don't see any limits with it yet, and
down in Yakutat last summer, up the river, the elders, this was an elders camp. They were very anxious for the camp. They saw it as a last opportunity for them to get back out to their river, which was threatened by the covered glacier down. The glacier was moving towards, was trying to block off the river. It would destroy all of the natural and the traditional fishing grounds. They were very concerned about that. So this is some footage which they took themselves. You're going to notice a real difference. The second one, we used more words. We didn't have enough visual. We didn't have enough pictures. And that's what people try to express, what they feel, what they give in the words. It's not, the impact isn't the same as the first one, which is the drama. But I think we're going to get some benefit. You're going to get the idea behind the camp, which is, again, people determine what their needs are. People go there for their determine.
The other thing is that the experience on the road is we don't go in there and do the camp, but they do themselves provide technical assistance and partial funding for some of the basic needs. We try to pick different camps. One is just a whole room, it's just a rooming camp in Canada last year. It was pretty good, and then the children's camp, and then the whole family.
We call these spirit camps, and we ran into some problems. People that couldn't comprehend why we were calling them spirit camps. We had to go through a lot of writing, rewriting, trying to explain to them what we were doing. Some people were
So everybody bring a white sheet. The family can't be there, and I'm anxious to really go to the hotel and see if that's a doctor. The problem is fixed on this one, it's not so terrible. We're
still working on the exact staff one.
Like in a village, it's about the only place you can do it. You could do it there was in the school, and it was that was a real bad time at home. You know, that Christian seniors time, a lot of crazy going on, and it was kind of a safe place for the kids to be. But we sure had to deal with a lot of anxiety. I think, you know, it was real hard on us, the people that were working with the kids. I think it was a real good place for them to be, and they expressed their appreciation, but we were dealing with a lot of crisis issues right at that time, and it was an awfully nice to be away someplace. But I guess it's like Reggie and I were just talking back and forth here. How you measure that is the kids keep wanting to know when you're going to do it again, when are we going to have the next camp, and so that says to me that if they didn't like it, they wouldn't be asking for it, or if they weren't getting things from it. And it seems that each year, they're more hooked into what the original purpose of the camp is. You know, the first year they really don't know, and they go, and it's a playtime. And then as the elders let them know what their expectations are, each year they come back with a better handle on it.
I think, you know,
Identify their problems and also identify the solutions that are developed. And the process is
Tokyo and also the national competitors. Looking at nationwide, nine nations are very different work with scientific men like Tokyo. Thank you. One more thing to do is on the church and you don't limit that to community open to anyone that wants to do it. Okay, you're welcome. Finding out that they couldn't make it as a Durban student.
unfortunately, our school district has a possible, and it can be documented, a 72% dropout rate in the children. That is unforgivable. We're also finding out that many of the young people who are coming from the village schools are coming ill-prepared. They have been socially promoted. We have some children who are in fifth grade who are reading at secondary level. We see this on a consistent basis. We see kids in the Burbank School District who are at a point where they don't know where to go from here. Our suicide rate continues to climb. The reason that it was so important for us to put together the Spirit of the Rainbow was really to address the problems of alcohol and drug abuse and frustration and suicide and teen pregnancy and all of the social ills that happen in a society that has become alienated and disenfranchised and frustrated. One of the things that we're finding out with the programs that are running through the Fairbanks and Association Education Department is that one of the reasons for success is because they are native planned and native run. Because that changed the circumstances a little bit. That we're not trying to do something that does not come naturally to us, but we are trying to renew that feeling of, and I like the word, becoming culturally literate, and thank you for that, because that's something new for me today. We are learning to look back within ourselves and within those experiences we have had as Native people. We've lost a lot. We've lost a tremendous amount. I come from a reservation back in South Dakota. I had 90% unemployment. I know what it feels to stand in line with my hand out waiting for commodity food. I have never felt so humiliated or so almost degraded because I had lost that self-respect. My husband comes from a village where alcoholism is 99 9/10% of all the entire population. We've had suicide and we lost a sister only 2 weeks ago who drank herself to death. And this continues and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. So we looked at what can we as Native people do to begin to address these things. We contracted with Howard to again this summer do something that we are choosing to call the traditional heritage camp. And it's based on the clear skin premise. We have a number of people that need to be away from Fairbanks and need to learn what Howard can do. And what Evelyn Alexander and Jonathan David and all of our respected elders, all of these wisdom that they have, our young people somehow have to help us. Some of them don't want it. I have a 12-year-old who decided a couple of weeks ago she doesn't want to be Native anymore. She does not want to be Native. She said, I'm tired, she's in sixth grade. I'm tired of being called a Native. I'm tired of being called a salmon hunter. I'm tired of being made to feel different. I'm tired of my teacher looking at me like I can't do anything. Now those are the kinds of things that our kids and families have to deal with. We are dealing with low teacher expectations of Native children. We are tired of having to fight every inch of the way. As I read through the issues that were going to be addressed, I thought, what makes us different? Why are we different as students? Why can't we put together a program that unfortunately has to be funded through federal dollars because there just isn't too much available, that can make a difference that, and I was mentioning Teresa Delta earlier, Joanne just recently did a RAT test, a reading achievement test, on a child who works who has been part of traditional school this school year. The child has raised 2 reading levels. 1 year, something is wrong. Now why can't the school district do it? We can do it. Truly, we are committed to it, but if we can do it and it can be successful, then why can't the school district do it? And what do we say to the school district, or what do we say to the university, when you're preparing your teachers to go out to the rural areas, for God's sake, make sure that they don't bring with them this baggage that says, Native kids can't do anything because they don't talk, because they don't look you in the eye, because they don't raise their hand and want to be recognized, because those are not things that are innate to us. Because as a native person, I was not taught that. Because I was taught respect. I have learned to be very mountain. But I learned that in graduate school. I went back to the reservation 2 years ago, and my sister said to me, "What happened? You didn't used to be taught." But I had to learn how. Because I think that some of us are put on this earth with a mission. And the mission says, change has got to happen. What is the difference between a Native institution and a non-Native institution, traditions and values and culture and identity and self-respect? And with that, I'm going to turn you over to Greg Crocker, who is the coordinator for our traditional school. And just give a little bit of background. A year ago, we piloted the Upper Native Traditional School.